comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. We're going to be talking a little bit later about the Baywatch movie. It's summertime. I'm not going to tease that this time. It will be the Baywatch movie later in the show. And we're also going to be talking about the trials and tribulations of Tiger. It's Mr. Woods is apparently in a little bit of trouble again. But first of all, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's the end of Memorial Day weekend. It's as a comic, it's still kind of the weekend.
sure.
Most people did get up and go to work this morning after 3 days off. For Memorial Day this year, I made a trip to the Binder Park Zoo in Battle Creek, Michigan, home of Kellogg's, is what Battle Creek is most known for. As a kid, sure. We used to there was a big day trip was to go to the Kellogg's plant and see cereal being made. And we all used to do that and come home with cereal until Kellogg's found out that inside the tour there were often researchers from Post and General Mills.
Oh, that makes sense. A little espionage, a little cereal espionage.
Yeah, it could not have been easier to figure out their secrets for puffing wheat. So they closed down the tours probably about 10, 20 years ago, I think.
There's a great
maybe
book,
longer.
By the way, have you ever read The Road to Wellville or seen the film adaptation?
I am familiar with it. Is it actually on the way out? I was telling my niece that cornflakes were not invented as a breakfast food, that they were invented as a medicine.
Yeah.
And she thought Uncle Tim had gone off the deep end.
Well, you were correct, sir. You were absolutely correct. Yeah, Anthony Hopkins plays John Harvey Kellogg, in the movie. It's quite good. It's quite weird. Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's a lot about medical procedures from the early milk baths and various treatments for hysteria. It's
some treatments that still exist today.
Yes,
he was the first one to talk about colonics as a better way to health, and also I just found this out. He was the primary advocate for universal circumcision.
That makes sense. I think that was actually in the book. As it's been years since I read the book, but yeah, he was very kind of obsessed with like the tidiness of the human body.
That's why we do it, and it wasn't necessarily the tidiness aspect of it. Is that he felt that the reason why men spend so much time gratifying themselves was because of that offending organ. So he felt that he could stop men from doing that if he were to remove it.
Nice try, John Harvey.
So, yeah.
The gross joke is now we know where they get all the cornflakes. But I would never stoop to such scatology.
I did not go for the cornflakes. I went for the Binder Park Zoo, which it's a pretty interesting zoo. It looks like a state park. It's completely wooded.
One of those zoos where you drive through more than you walk through?
No, it's a walkthrough. Oh. It's a walkthrough. It's to go from the main park to the Africa exhibit. Mm-hmm. You do have to take a tram because it's about a mile and a half.
Okay,
but we walked it on the way out. We took the tram on the way back, but it was a mile and a half walk to, and there's signs all the way saying this way to Africa.
You're like, this is gonna be a long walk.
And yeah.
Hope somebody's got an inner tube and a paddle or something.
And of course, me, I couldn't stop making remarks like, "Well, it looks like we missed the train down to Africa." So anyway, the reason why I went, the reason it's about a 3 hour drive for me. Mm-hmm. I picked up my niece and went, met a friend from Detroit. It's about halfway. And the reason why we went was because they have a giraffe feeding station. Where you can actually buy romaine lettuce for $2 a leaf, five leaves for $6.
That's a heck of a markup for romaine lettuce.
Yeah, I know.
Can you bring your own lettuce? Can you smuggle some lettuce into your shirt or anything?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really think about it when I was going to the zoo. But after paying for my second round of five leaves, I thought to myself, you know, it's really not monitored that well.
You're right. You and your niece, like, you have her sneak over and you're throwing lettuce over the fence to her.
Well, yeah. You know, it's not even that. I mean, she could have put people have the big purses with the water bottles and the. You know, there's no reason why you couldn't stick a couple of hearts of romaine in there.
Absolutely not. I'd put them under my shirt for that price.
Well, the giraffe might find it, and that might not be pleasant.
Oh, that's true. Or I might become the giraffe's best friend. Could go either way.
So it's a platform over the giraffe exhibit.
Huh.
And the giraffes come up so that their head. Is like level with the railing there.
Wow.
And you hold a piece of lettuce and they come up and you get to see exactly how giraffes feed. It's kind of interesting. You see this big adorable head with huge brown eyes the size of snow globes and long lashes and the cute little ossicones. That's what those little lumps are on either side of their head. And they come up and they kind of have a moose snout and they see you have the lettuce and they put up their little moose snout there like they're going to give you a kiss. And then this thing like alien comes out of their mouth. It's a black tongue. It's pointed. It's probably at least 12 inches long.
It's a proboscis of sorts, right?
Yeah. And it shoots out of their mouth, wraps around your wrist, and then pulls down until it gets the lettuce and drags it out of your hand.
Oh, so they don't grab the – it's like they kind of treat your arm like the tree branch.
Yeah.
Sure, they kind of bend you toward them and eat the leaves, and then you're good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But like I said, it is a little bit disturbing. You don't really, sure. You don't know that the first time. You don't know that thing is coming, which is kind of fun. So it's kind of fun to see kids there for the first time and squeal.
I would have squealed if you wouldn't have told me what was going to happen. I'd be like, well, this is going to be an interesting way for me to die.
they're quite tame. They let you scritch their ears, and as long as you have lettuce, they will not come by for a scritch unless they're going to get a piece of lettuce.
Way of the world, man. Way of the world.
So that's how I spent the Memorial Day weekend in Battle Creek, Michigan.
That's pretty peaceful sounding.
Yeah, it was. It was a pretty interesting zoo.
Are you a zoo fan in general?
Yeah, I am. I've been to several. We've got two here in the Chicago area.
Sure, been to those both of them. I like the Lincoln Park Zoo. I used to live really close to there, and my old roommate used to drop acid and just go stare at the penguin enclosure for like 4 hours at a time.
Huh.
He just loved that combination.
We used to live across the street. We used to go to the feeding time with the seals. Ooh, do I have time for this story? Yes, I'm going to make time for this story.
You can do it.
Because I live so close, it was like about a 2-block walk into the zoo, and it's free, so you can go. You know, you don't have to feel like you get your money's worth.
Right, you can just pop in. Yeah.
So anyway. I went once. We looked and said, "Oh, let's go see the feeding time at the reptile house."
Mm-hmm.
And we go in there, and we're up at the snapping turtle cage.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you see the keeper with a bucket of food, and it's like, oh, they're going to feed the snapping turtles. And there's like a school there with a couple teachers, and there's a bunch of school kids, and they go, come on, kids, come on, they're going to feed the turtles. We're going to get you see the feed the turtles. So they gather all these kids up to the window to see the turtles get fed, and the keeper dumps a bucket of live mice into the turtle exhibit. And the water just starts boiling. It turns red. God. It's full of carnage and blood and bits of mice. There's one mouse trying to swim away with its entrails dragging behind him.
And Saving Private
entire,
Ryan.
His entire bottom half is gone. God. And the kids are just catatonic. The teachers are now in crisis mode. They have to go. Oh, they have to start leading the kids one by one away from the glass. And the saddest part for me was one mouse actually made it out, made it up on a rock, and the keeper went out there and flicked it back in.
Oh, he should get to go free.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Then, of course, you're going to raise a generation of mice that know how to get out of the turtle tank.
That's true. They're super mice. Speaking of getting out of the turtle tank, I think it's time for our graceful exit from the turtle tank of the segment. Second segment of Rule of Three. Well, we'll get to Baywatch here in a minute, but we were just talking about carnage and animals in peril. And speaking of, there's a tiger in trouble.
It's Tiger Trap.
Yes, tiger, burning bright indeed. His symmetry is a little less fearful than it used to be. And now it's compelled poor. If Tiger Woods just got a DUI this weekend, and then, oh, I saw today they updated it, and he was asleep behind the wheel, like in the street. That's a bad look.
Not moving.
No. Not like sleeping and driving. Just, you know, kind of hanging
just
out
like
on the road.
I'm getting a little tired. I'll pull to the side of the road and take a little nap behind the wheel here.
Yeah, which is usually not a good idea.
You do is you get in the back seat, and you say, where'd my girl go?
Yeah, you take the keys out of the thing. You can't have the keys in the ignition. Here's a little drunk driving tip for all you youngsters there. Make sure the keys aren't in the ignition or you're screwed.
I actually heard that in some places, if you even have the keys on you.
Yes, I think I actually have a friend who a long time ago got out of a DUI. They were trying to bust him because he was drunk at a bar, and so he went to sleep it off in the parking lot. And they tried to get him on a technicality. And he left they said, well, sir, you got your keys in the car, you know, you were getting a DUI. And he said, why don't you check on top of the rear left tire? He had just left his keys sitting on top of the wheel well there.
Wow.
And so now I think they got him for public intoxication or something, but still, Illinois cops don't just let you go. That's not how that works. But
I heard someone say that they wanted to sleep in the car, but they didn't want to get busted. So they just took their cars and the keys and then just heaved them.
Wow.
Randomly.
Wheel well might be a little more orderly for the next morning purposes, but sure. But old Tiger got a DUI, and I was unsurprised but bummed to see people seemed almost elated about it. People seem to really like when bad things happen to Tiger Woods. Have you noticed that?
Well, I think I can't think of anyone that could get a DUI that somebody would say, oh, that's too bad. I think the humiliation of a DUI, it delights a lot of people. No matter who the celebrity is.
You don't think like a Tom Hanks DUI? That'd be a bummer, wouldn't it?
No. Then it would be, you know, I never really trusted the guy.
I think sometimes you don't have to be humanizing. You're like, oh.
I always thought that there was a dark side to him.
DUI might be the crime that the most people commit and or have committed slash are capable of committing that they look down on the most?
Huh.
Don't you think? Because, like, home invasion is terrible. Well, I'm never going to break into somebody's house and rifle through their stuff, you know? But I've had three beers when I should have had two and had somewhere to be, you know? I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't advocate it. I try to, you know, as you get older, you don't want to do that stuff. But, I mean, I would say, wouldn't you say that most people have, the average person has probably driven drunk?
Well, here's an interesting thing. Is that I've been told that in the early days before there were mad mothers,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that unless you were over 2.2,
mm-hmm. which is pretty darn drunk.
Yeah. Unless you were over 0.2, the cop would just say, just leave your car here and walk home, or maybe I'll give you, you know, if it's not far, maybe I'll give you a ride. Or,
oh, absolutely. My uncle used to, this is 35 years ago, but he said, oh yeah, he's like, we'd be all partying and we'd be driving home and the cop would see us and he'd say, all right, I'm gonna follow you home, you know, you just drive slow, right. And I'll be right behind you and I'll make sure you get home, you know, and make sure you don't hurt anybody.
Right, that's
small
that's
town
what used
too.
That's the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mad mother started lobbying for a crackdown, and it might not have been uncalled for.
Oh sure. Know? Oh, I mean it. Yeah, a lot of people die that way. It certainly wasn't a thing to make light of the way I think it used to be. Like, oh boy, I don't even remember coming home last night. Like, you probably shouldn't brag about that.
There was a comic, Ollie Joe Prater.
In the early days. Yep.
You remember Ollie Joe?
Never met him, but I know of him. Sort of a notorious guy for a lot of reasons.
One of his lines was drunk driving. Boy, that ain't as popular as it used to be.
See, I remember the Foxworthy joke, which is we got mad mothers against drunk driving and damn drunks against mad mothers.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So when the transition happened, there were battle lines, and I think they got it. They started making sure that the laws were enforced,
mm-hmm.
and then slowly they started winding down, like 2 points at a time. They went to 0.18, and then 0.16, mm-hmm. and then with every rollback, they were able to decrease the amount of drunk driving fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had a positive impact on the problem that existed. However, when they went from 0.1 to 0.08,
mm-hmm.
something curious happened.
Oh.
Is that for the first time, it went up.
Wow. Was it because they'd made it so arbitrary? Not arbitrary, but so low that people stopped kind of taking it seriously?
That's my belief.
I believe that
you know, even at 0.1, there was still an element of shame of getting pulled over and getting convicted and losing and having to blow start your car,
mm-hmm.
and all the other, you know, things that occur when you, you know, having to take a bicycle to the liquor store.
Right.
All the shameful things that occur to you after you've had a conviction for drunk driving. And I think when it went down to 0.8, I think it was such an easy law to accidentally break.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
That suddenly everyone had a story about what happened to them,
mm-hmm.
and it to the point where people would actually at parties, you know, it was almost like liar's poker.
Sure.
You'd get together and go, what did you blow? It's kind of a party game. And it became so common that nobody really paid attention to it anymore. And it's my belief that they probably did ratchet it down too far. I think it was Doug Stanhope's line, mm-hmm. that he said, you know, I'm better at 0.08 than most people over 60 are completely sober.
Yep.
Sober.
Totally true, and that is Doug Stanhope's line. I think Stanhope had the idea that you should be able, if you can pass the driver's test at like 0.12, that you should be able to legally drive at 0.12.
Yeah, it's like the correct division is on your license. Yeah. Your legal limit is printed on your license, and that's what everyone has their own.
Yeah, I think there's something to that because like, I feel like the frustrating thing is that I don't know that I can. I've never blown into any kind of breathalyzer thing. So even I was like, you know, you could buy like a home testers, but they never really seemed to work very well. They always seemed pretty arbitrary. They used to have them in bars, but people would try to do it like a contest to see how high they could blow. And they had to take them all out. I remember that.
Used to have them in bars, plus right next to like a candy dispenser. That was advertised. I remember this. They were advertised as breathalyzer something mints.
Oh, like this the charcoal in this will cut your alcohol. Interesting.
So, of course, that didn't last long too, because I'm sure it's, someone industrious said, okay, I'm going to see if these mints work.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I don't know. It was a bummer. I feel like people are so eager to shame Tiger Woods. And if you think about all the crimes that Tiger Woods has committed, or sins, you know, so he's cheated on his wife and he drinks and drives. Like, well, there's two things that a lot of people do. You know, and everybody wants to demonize the guy. He probably didn't have any fun in his life till he was 25 years old. He was busy on his dad screaming at him while he hit his 950th chip shot of the day. Gee, surprise, surprise. The guy wants to blow off a little steam in his 40s. What a shocker. I don't know.
Wasn't there like still a golf club in his windshield from his wife as he was backing out of the drive?
Kind of. That was almost too good of a story not to report on for people, I think, unfortunately. And I would like to continue this story, but alas, it is 10 minutes in. Too good of a story to keep going with. So we got to head out. See you in the next segment. And on the final topic of Rule of Three here, on the final segment, something I've been thinking a lot about this weekend, Baywatch. Maybe no one's – I don't even think a writer on Baywatch has ever said, I've been thinking a lot about Baywatch this weekend. But I due to the dearth of summer cinema right now, I had to review something, and Baywatch it was for the weekend.
There's not really a dearth. I mean, there's plenty of things that you could review. There's very few that you would want to, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it was this week. It was either Baywatch or Pirates of the Caribbean, and I'm so totally sick of Pirates of the Caribbean. I was like, well, at least there'll be more boobies probably in the Baywatch movie. That was literally my decider. I was like, oh, and I realized also, I was like, well, if you have to go one way, you probably go The Rock over Johnny Depp. And then I thought, man, if you would have told me 10 years ago that it's a no-brainer to go for a Rock movie over a Johnny Depp movie, I would have slapped you in the mouth. But it's true now. Johnny Depp is such a caricature, and The Rock is a delightful caricature. So
there was a rumor going around that that big hack that happened a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah,
that I forget what that was called, but that hack that they had gotten into the Disney computers, and they actually had encrypted Pirates of the Caribbean 5, and we're not going to let them have it unless they paid the ransom for ransomware. And my speculation was, you might have been able to get more money to promise to keep it encrypted.
Yeah, I would have started a GoFundMe for that.
Especially if Johnny Depp had already seen the movie. You could probably have gotten a lot of money from Johnny Depp saying, can we just go straight to 6?
It would be kind of ironic to turn a Pirates of the Caribbean movie into Buried Treasure. Kind of be full circle.
So it was Baywatch. It's my understanding that you did not like it.
No, it was terrible. And it was terrible for a lot of reasons. The main reason it was terrible just as a movie was that, well, first off, I think this whole 21 Jump Street was a real Pandora's box because it was kind of a funny movie, but it gave people the idea that you could make not trying hard be, you could make not trying hard be like a badge of honor for your movie. So it's like, you know, it's
kind of like what we were talking about. Was it last week or the week before? Mm-hmm. I bring it up all the time. Sir Laurence Olivier in Neil Diamond's Jazz Singer movie.
Yeah.
It's for me, it was just an incredible, the most apathetic performance that Sir Laurence ever put on film. And so that was 21 Jump Street. That was the, everyone was apathetic about it.
Yeah, like the whole premise of the movie is that like 21 Jump Street is a dumb premise and why are we even here? And there's a lot of self-deprecating jokes. It's kind of funny, but I mean, that's essentially kind of a funny gag once, but I think this Chips remake and now Baywatch, and you're going to see some more of these other movies where someone's like, oh, so we can take something that sucks, and there's no bar to clear, because we've already acknowledged that the real thing sucks. And then we'll make fun of how the real thing sucks, and then that'll make us be an okay thing. Like, that's an easy formula, you know? And that's they sort of tried to do that with Baywatch, but then they also, so like half of it is a nudge wink, isn't this dumb comedy? And then half of it is like a kind of half-serious action comedy subplot where like you're supposed to feel bad. Like there's a full 2-minute long scene where Zac Efron is forced to search for track marks on a corpse's taint. And there's,
wow.
Yeah, there's full frontal dead bits and twig and berries, as they say, manipulation while he's looking around.
Wow.
Like real bargain basement Fairley Brothers gross out humor. And then like 10 minutes later, we're supposed to be worried about him because he has a drinking problem. It's like, well, which movie is this? But last night while I was talking to our friend Andrew Lee.
How many writers?
Oh, at least four. That I saw credited, yeah.
So basically it was like probably started with a serious script, then went to a you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then,
at some point, someone mashed the two together and said, "This is a good combo."
And then the third person was in recovery and said, "You can't make drunk jokes in 2017." So then he wrote in the recovery aspect to it.
Yeah, I had a bizarre insight last night, though, and I was thinking about why I hated the movie so much, and then it hit me. And I was like, okay, so Baywatch as a show was terrible. Like, nobody remembers the plot to any Baywatch episodes. There's no, like, classic Baywatch episode, even the way there's, like Saved by the Bell is a stupid show, but everybody of a certain age remembers Jesse Spano freaking out on caffeine pills when she's trying to study too hard. Like, there's a couple of, like, really high-pitched, ridiculous Saved by the Bells that you're like, oh, yeah. That's exactly what that show was. Baywatch, they're all the same. They all suck. You know, the only reason to watch Baywatch was you were 12 and the Victoria's Secret catalog hadn't quite made it into the mail yet. You know?
Yeah. Or you're European.
Yeah, and thus have bad taste in music.
Yeah. In fact, you love Hasselhoff And for you, that's probably the 90s. Is Baywatch 90s
yep.
or 80s?
Late 80s, mostly early 90s, I think.
Yeah, Baywatch is sort of the 90s version of the Western.
But
I was thinking it's how the world viewed America.
Exactly. Yeah, Leave It to Beaver. You know, it's like this is our imagination of what America would be like, be it domestic. Suburban bliss, or you know, like you said, Wild Wild West, or just nothing but good-looking blonde people swimming around, just you know,
bouncing on the beach.
And it was the bouncing, of course, that you know the show only existed for the bouncing. You know, that was
yeah.
people running in slow motion because at the time, you know, there was no internet to speak of.
Nope. I'm sure the casting when they cast Baywatch, they had a mini tramp right there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right there in the studio, and just said, "Can you just jump it up and down to that a couple times?"
Yeah, I mean it was essentially softcore porn, right? It's kind of how I would think of it. And so the movie, I realized halfway through it why I'm so annoyed with it. It's just an R-rated comedy that's R-rated mostly just for being kind of filled with sort of. I mean, I don't care if people curse, but you know, people are cursing a lot. But there's a lot of like kind of dirty jokes. There's the nudity of the corpse. And all that. So it's all that. But then you still have a movie that remains boobless, and it's girls in bikinis just with half unzipped bikinis running around. And so it creates this weird thing where you're like, wait a minute. So we're going to go weird, hard R comedy, but then we're going to make sure that everybody's doesn't even, you know, keeps their pants pulled up the whole time. And it's very weird to see it like kind of Rye chase.
And the only nudity that you got to see wasn't the kind you were looking forward to.
No, it was not. And it's funny, though, that I didn't even realize it was R until I was in there, because the nature of Baywatch is to not quite show boobs. I think that's what Baywatch was. But once you're in a theater and it's rated R, you're like, wait a minute. Why aren't we showing boobs in this boob movie? It's really weird. It's just the worst of all possible worlds.
The trailer did a good job of misrepresenting the film.
Oh, did I didn't even see the trailer.
Yeah, and the trailer looks like it might actually be a pretty good comedy. And I'm disappointed to hear that, because it was actually kind of in the back of the mind. I thought, yeah, that might be fun.
Yeah, and it has moments. I'm sure I can imagine the moments that they would put in the trailer that would make it look like a comedy. But you could also very easily make a very serious looking trailer out of it. And it's, by the way, it's 2 hours long.
Oh my gosh.
That's 3 episodes of Baywatch. I would argue no one has ever watched 3 episodes of Baywatch in a row one time in their life.
It might have been written for the trailer. They might have actually. That might be why it shifts gears so many times, is that they actually might they might say, okay, we can go this way, we can go this way, and we, you know, with a film with all those aspects, they can say we can promote it any way, and they went comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to say that a show doesn't live up to the legacy of the inspirational source material that is Baywatch, but it truly was. It didn't clear the bar that the show Baywatch set. I mean, can you think of it?
Speaking of not clearing the bar,
yes.
David Hasselhoff.
Oh, he's in there, of course. Yeah. Oh, clearing the bar. Oh, nice, nice, nice. The hamburger video, yeah.
Yeah, you thought I was going to do a rap right there.
No, that was nice, clearing the bar. He has done that himself. And, of course, there's the obligatory cameo, and we're all supposed to be like, David Hasselhoff showed up in the movie. Oh, you mean the guy who won't let himself not be associated with Baywatch at every turn of his life? What a stunner. What, he was probably so busy, I can't believe he managed to squeeze it in. Hot off the set of the Knight Rider remake, I'm sure. But yes, avoid the Baywatch. I would, grim but true, better off just rewatching the show.
Huh.
So yeah, Baywatch comes up lacking, and we're about to come up lacking. So before we head out, check us out on iTunes and
yeah. If you got comments, you can leave comments on Podbean. You can leave comments on iTunes. We want to hear your comments. We know there's at least 20 of you who listen to every episode. Let us know what you think, what you like, what you don't like. Put some comments there. Well, we're dying to hear from you. Like I said, iTunes, Podbean is where it's at. TimSlegel.com, you can link through there.
BrianMillerComedy.com if I can get the GoDaddy people on the line so I can get my website sorted out. I got some tech issues I got to get to. But theoretically, that should be back up by tomorrow.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.